Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, we'll conduct a question-and-answer session. Now I'd like to introduce your host for today's conference, Christine Patrick, with NOAA Fisheries Public Affairs. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thanks. Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining us today to talk about today's announcement by NOAA of the 2010 Status of the Stocks Report. It's a report to Congress that's been delivered every year since 1997. The news release about today's report is now available at NOAA.gov, and there's a link there to the NOAA Fisheries website with a fuller presence of photos and stories that you're welcome to use. With me today are Emily Menashis, Acting Director of NOAA Fisheries Office of Sustainable Fisheries, and Galen Trumbull, the Director for the Domestic Division in the Office of Sustainable Fisheries. After I finish here, Emily will give some remarks, and then we'll be able to open up for questions for you. This call is meant for media members, so we'll be taking questions from reporters. If there are others on the line, you're welcome to listen in, but please do not ask questions. There is a call for constituents at 3 o'clock today, and I'll give you my contact information at the end of this call if you'd like to join that one. Before we begin with questions, I'd like to ask Emily Menashis here, the Acting Director for the Office of Sustainable Fisheries, to give some brief opening remarks.
Thank you. So in this 35th anniversary year of the Magnuson-Stevens Act, NOAA Fisheries is releasing its 14th annual report to Congress on the status of the nation's fisheries. This report documents progress towards ending overfishing and rebuilding the nation's fisheries, and this report in specific looks at the status of stocks as of December 31st, 2010. Commercial and recreational fishing industries depend on healthy and abundant fish stocks and marine ecosystems to provide lasting jobs, food, and recreational opportunities. Currently, we estimate that fishing in all of its forms generates $72 billion per year and 1.9 million full and part-time jobs, and the potential of fully rebuilt fisheries in the U.S. is substantial, with an estimate of adding another $31 billion to the economy and an additional 500,000 jobs. So with continued investment in scientific assessments and sustainable management, we anticipate that the occurrence of overfishing will continue to decline, more fisheries will rebuild, and this will allow both sustainability in our resources as well as economic opportunity. This year's report demonstrates the strength of the science-based management process that we have under the Magnuson-Stevens Act that allows us to be adaptive, flexible, and responsive in managing the nation's fisheries sustainability. For this year's results in particular, three fisheries stocks from the Northeast, Georges Bank haddock, Atlantic pollock, and spiny dogfish, have now been rebuilt to healthy levels, which brings to 21 the total number of stocks that have been rebuilt nationwide since 2000. Other high-level results from the report is that 84% of the stocks examined for fishing activity were free from overfishing, meaning that they were not fished at too high of a level, and 77% of the stocks with known population levels were above the overfished level, meaning that the populations were too low to provide for a maximum sustainable yield. Beyond the rebuilt stocks, there are other positive changes in the report this year. We removed four stocks from the overfished list, all from the Northeast. That includes Gulf of Maine haddock, American plaice, Gulf of Maine cod, and Southern New England windowpane. And we also removed two stocks from the overfished list, and that includes Georges Bank yellowtail flounder and Southern Atlantic coast black grouper. There's a lot more detail in the report that's online and in the press release about specific changes that occurred for species across the country, so I wasn't going to go into detail for that. Mostly I think we wanted to open it up for questions that you might have about interpreting the report or management that's ongoing under in the Fisheries Service.
Thank you, Emily. And operator, we're ready to begin questions.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. First question is from Brian Vastag of the Washington Post. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi, Emily. First of all, can you spell your name for me? I didn't catch that.
Sure. E-M-I-L-Y. The last name is Menashes. It's M-E-N-A-S-H-E-S.
Okay, great. So for the three stocks that were rebuilt from last year, outline the strategies and how that success was achieved.
Well, in general, with all fisheries management, we work closely with the regional fishery management councils. There are eight around the country. When a stock is declared overfished, that triggers a requirement in the Magnuson-Stevens Act to implement a rebuilding plan. And the length of time of those rebuilding plans can vary, but generally the progress is to manage the stocks on a long-term trajectory so that they achieve that rebuilt level. I think there's more specific information, you know, on a regional level that we could get to you about what happens on a stock-by-stock basis or kinds of specific measures that they put in place for each stock can be different. But in general, we put these plans in place and we monitor them regularly to make sure that they continue to perform as expected.
The next question is from Clark Canfield, the Associated Press. Your line is open.
Yes, I had two questions. One is that although the number of fish stocks subject to overfishing and that are overfished actually increased in 2010 over 2009, yet you're characterizing this as progress. I guess I'm just wondering if you could kind of characterize where you see the progress being made and if, in fact, the numbers are going up. And also you talked about science-based management and you point to New England as where the new catch shares program has been in effect for about a year, but is it too soon to declare New England as a success story or not? And those are my questions.
Okay, in terms of your first question, right, I think, you know, every year we see dynamic changes in how we report stocks here. And this report really gives, as I mentioned up front, kind of a snapshot in time of where we were at the end of 2010. In 2010, you're right, each category of overfishing and overfished increased by 2. Part of this is due to you get more information, and as we get more information, we learn things about stocks that we didn't know in the past. In this year as well, part of the increase was due to a procedural requirement in which determinations made on several Northeast stocks in 2008, so it was assessments done in 2008, were not actually formally adopted until the management plan was amended, and that was a public process that didn't actually get completed until 2010. So they were actually stocks that we knew the information on, and actually in last year's report, we had been footnoting that, and the management councils had been taking action on that information already. So measures to address the overfishing and the rebuilding of those stocks have been worked through the council process. So part of it was just a delay in sort of the process of when we make the management determination changes. Could you actually repeat your second question?
Operator, if you would open up Clark's line again so he could ask his second question, please.
One moment.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can, Clark.
You were talking about science-based management, and I was wondering, you were holding up the Northeast as with several examples of fish stocks that are no longer overfished. And I'm wondering if you are you declaring the new catch shares program a success, or is it too soon to do so?
Clark, this is Galen Trumbull. I'm going to field that question. The science and management in the Northeast has been ongoing now for 15 to 20 years, very extensively working to rebuild those stocks. And so any results of the new catch share program in New England are not reflected in the status determinations we have now, because there is a time lag, and that's a new program. But the improvements in stock status in the Northeast have been ongoing now, and I think for many years, and have accelerated in the past decade. There's been a lot of improvement in stock status, and we're starting to see that now show up in these improved determinations.
Thank you. Operator, we can take the next question.
The next question is from Mike Shutek from the Carteret County News Times. Your line is open.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask what the general look for the health of the stocks in the North Carolina area were, according to this report. Has there been a number of successful stock rehabilitations, or have there been a lot of problems coming up?
So the report itself has a regional breakdown of stock status changes by the region. So in the there's the report. So in the southeast region of the report, which is on page 13, it shows the progress specifically made on stocks that are subject to overfishing or overfished, of those stocks that are listed under the jurisdiction of the South Atlantic Council. And we also provide in the report a summary map that shows also by region where there are stock status determinations. So there are, but we don't actually in this report break out specifically stock status condition in the state of North Carolina. It's in the region as a whole related to the fishery management plan managed by that council.
Okay, thanks. Operator, we can take the next question.
The next question is from Pat Brennan, Orange County Register. Your line is open.
Hi. I wasn't completely clear on the two categories with two different sets of numbers, overfishing versus overfished. Is there overlap there? Or how are those derived? And also, when we're talking about something that's overfished, does that mean it's fished too heavily to sustain that population, that it could be driven to extinction?
Thanks for that question. This is Galen Trumbull again. The overfishing status refers to the rate that fish are being caught. So it's very much of an annual determination of the rate of fish that are caught that in a given year. The overfished status refers to the overall population level, so the amount, the abundance that's out there. The determinations are made separately. They're generally made in the same stock assessment, but the overfished determination is comparing the abundance estimate for the stock with a reference level, and the overfishing determination is comparing the fishing mortality rate with a reference level. The reasons why the numbers of stocks that you see on the overfished and overfishing tables are different is that when we do a stock assessment, our goal is to assess both the abundance and the fishing mortality rate so that we could make both determinations. But there are some stocks for which the stock assessment produces an estimate only for one of those values. So there is overlap between the sets of numbers. In other words, there are numerous stocks in the report for which both overfished and overfishing determinations are made. Also, one thing that I'll point out is that while a low abundance level is referred to as overfished, the low abundance can be caused by a number of factors, not just fishing. it can be caused by poor environmental conditions, for instance. And you ask whether an overfished stock might be indicative that the stock could become in really bad shape. You mentioned extinction, and that would not be the case. The overfished determination is not the same kind of determination that would lead to something like Endangered Species Act listing. This is a threshold that's geared toward the reference point of the maximum sustainable yield. So if the stock is deemed to not be at a level that can support maximum sustainable yield, it will go on the overfished list and need rebuilding. But in general, for most of these stocks, this is still an abundance level that's well above a level that represents any kind of threat to the existence of the stock.
Thanks. Operator, we can take the next question.
Next question is from Bob Tkach, Fisherman's News Magazine. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. Two questions, please. First, are we talking strictly about fishing by commercial harvesters, or are you including sports and commercial harvesters? And are there any stocks that you can identify as particularly the effects on them have been caused by one harvester group or the other? And the second question is, you mentioned in your opening comments, Dr. Menashes, that everything's going to go well as long as there's continued investment in fisheries management. Given the state of affairs of the economy and the federal budget and Washington, D.C., is there any reason at all to think that something other than drastic budget cuts to NOAA's fisheries management budget should be expected in the next few years?
In terms of the determinations in your question about commercial and recreational, when the stock assessments and determinations are done, it looks at all sources of known fishing mortality and population. So this report isn't necessarily looking at recreational versus commercial issues. That would be something that we could put you in touch if you had specific regional questions on some of those issues. So, no, this report doesn't separate out those issues and looks in total at the effects of fishing and other factors on the status of the stocks. In terms of the budget climate, I think we're all kind of in a wait-and-see mode. Congress has just started their process of looking at the FY12 budget, and, we're certainly communicating that it's long-term investment in commercial fisheries is important, but that's really all we can say about that right now.
Okay, thank you, Operator. We can take the next question.
The next question is from Mike Lee from the San Diego Union-Tribune. Your line is open.
Thank you for taking the question. As far as the overfishing condition category, and I'm looking here specifically at Southwest stocks or Pacific stocks like Bluefin, does that target or does that create some kind of management change, or do we need to wait until it's overfished to get to a management change?
That depends on the current situation. But if a stock is determined to be subject to overfishing, and it's also determined that the management measures that are currently in place would still continue that condition, then the management might have to be changed. For instance, the annual catch limit for a stock that was subject to overfishing might have to be reduced to lower the fishing mortality rate. However, it's important to know that when a stock assessment is done and the information is available to make the status determinations, it's also available to the fishery managers. And so by the time a stock is listed and appears in the report to Congress, the management changes have often already been put in place, and that's certainly the case for most of the stocks in this report.
Thanks, Operator. We can take the next question.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1.
So with no other questions, I'd like to thank you all for coming, and I would like to remind you that the news release is available right now on NOAA.gov, and the news release links to the fuller coverage that's available on NOAA Fisheries website, which is nmfs.noaa.gov. That is National Marine Fisheries Service.noaa.gov. And, do we have any more questions, operator, in the queue?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Well, then I'll stop my closing remarks and let those questions roll in.
Next question is from Clark Canfield from the Associated Press. Your line is open.
Sorry, I was late in ringing in there. I just had another question. I mean, a lot of this press release that was put out with this report was, is talking about how progress is being made, we're turning the corner, and yet, and I go back to the numbers, you know, the numbers aren't necessarily reflecting that. And you point out a bunch of the, all the stocks that for which there were positive changes. So I guess my question is, where were the negative changes?
So just to kind of address your first point, so we make the status determinations based on the most recent assessment information. And as Galen mentioned, we've taken management action on many, if not all, of these stocks. For example, for the 40 stocks that are subject to overfishing, 31 of them, they've actually all have had management measures put in place. 31 have annual catch limits and other measures in place to end overfishing. 9 are international, so they are not entirely within the control of U.S. management, but we have put the domestic measures in place. And what you see with a report like this is the Magnuson Act requires us to have objective and measurable criteria by which we make these status determination changes. So management goes into place, and we have a delay before the science can produce a new assessment that can tell us the results of that management action. So in a way, what this report is showing is a status determination that was made based on scientific information that is already out there. Management action has taken place and is working through the progress, but it takes time for the science results, again, to catch up to be able to distribute that. So just because, to illustrate that, so just because we see things on these lists doesn't mean that we haven't taken positive management steps in order to address those problems.
And that another reason, the answer to the question about where the negative news is, it's all detailed in the report, what the changes in the status are. Several of the new overfished determinations that we have represent first-time assessments. So we're moving from a situation where we did not know the status of the stock to one where we do know the status. And if the status is overfished or subject to overfishing, then we initiate management action. And one stock for which that is the case, as an example, is the Atlantic wolffish in the Northeast, where it was newly determined to be overfished, and as a result, the Management Council added it to the management plan and has instituted measures to control fishing. So while some of these determinations may appear to be negative, and we have an increase in the number of overfished stocks, for instance, we consider it to be a good thing that we know the status now so that we have a basis to take the action to rebuild the resource.
Thank you. And operator, we'll take the next question.
Next question is from Al Rasturi, Star Ledger. Your line is open.
Yes. For quite a few years, I've been trying to get some interest in looking at what the overall supposedly healthy stocks that have local components that have virtually disappeared. That's particularly the case in New York Bight with the Silver Hake, known locally as Whiting, which used to be the most abundant food and also recreational fish in the area, and has now virtually disappeared to the point where the average fisherman that goes out on a boat where one might be caught wouldn't even be able to identify it. And then we have the situation with mackerel, another stock that's supposedly in great shape, but there's been no spring inshore migration of mackerel now for, I don't know, it's over a decade, I guess. I can't remember back to the last year there was one. And apparently there's a big problem there, because that's something that throughout my entire fishing lifetime was always there to some degree or other. Is there any consideration going to be given to these localized problems in what is otherwise considered to be a healthy stock?
The management councils often do consider the more localized effects, and we have a number of examples in management plans around the country where harvest levels are subdivided, and in the Mid-Atlantic region, a number of stocks have state quotas, for instance, to spread the effort out along the throughout the distribution of the stock. The stock assessments, as you point out, are done on a stock-wide basis, and the Magnuson Act actually requires that stocks be managed as a unit throughout the range wherever possible. The effects of habitat change on the distribution of stocks, the effect of potential short-term or long-term climate change on the distribution of stocks, these are ecosystem factors that we are seeing the impacts of on some of the resources. So I think the fishery managers do have to take that into account. But those changes in distribution often are due to factors other than fishing pressure.
Okay, we'll take the next question, operator.
Next question is from Bob Tkach, Fisherman's News Magazine. Your line is open.
Thank you again. I guess this is more particularly for Galen, since you've worked on both coasts of the country. But the chart in your short news release shows that the overwhelming of stocks with any of these issues, overfished or overfishing, are from the Northeast or from the Atlantic coast. All of the stocks in the country are managed under the same Stevenman system under Magnuson Stevens. Why are the problems so much more apparent in the East Coast than the West Coast with these stocks?
Thanks for that softball question, Bob. The Magnuson Act extended U.S. jurisdiction over marine fish stocks out to 200 miles in 1976, and a transition of management from foreign fishing in a lot of these resources to domestic fishing occurred after that point. I think that there are a number of differences between fisheries in these areas. Among them are that many of the fisheries in Alaska and on the Pacific coast are in multi-species areas that are readily surveyable through fishery independent surveys such as trawl surveys, and the scientific information about them has been very good from the very beginning. In some other areas of the country where we have more species abundance in coral reef ecosystems and that kind of thing, the resources are much harder to survey, and the species diversity is much higher. In addition, in Alaska in particular, where we have a long history of a very healthy resource and fishery, the development of the fishery largely occurred after the Magnuson Act went in place. So the whole history of that fishery has been under Magnuson Act management. On the East Coast, there are fisheries on the East Coast that have long-standing histories of exploitation, and I think that the just the differences in the history of exploitation meant that the resources in on some of the eastern fisheries had been under more pressure for a longer period of time. But all the same standards now, of course, are applied in all those areas. All of the fisheries in the country now are subject to annual catch limit measures under the Magnuson Act. And I think that the improvements in the resources that are still on the list, I expect we'll see significant changes in this report over the next 5 years or so as the impacts of the new management measures bear out and we are able to do new stock assessments.
Thanks, and operator, we'll take the next question.
Next question is from Alexandra Gutierrez from Pacific Fishing. Your line is open.
Hi. According to the report, the Bering Sea Tanner Crab fishery remains in the overfish category, even though it now looks like you're determining that the decline in the stock might not be connected to overfishing. Could you all talk a little bit about what specific factors might have caused this decline and how we might expect this to affect management of the fishery?
This would be a good question probably to refer you to a regional contact in Alaska for.
Yeah, I think so, Alexandra. And you might also take a look at the story that's on the NOAA Fisheries website about the Tanner crab. So you can find that at nmfs.noaa.gov. And actually, that's a good segue into my closing remarks here, because I wanted to point out to all the reporters that with eight fishery management councils around the country, and these changes happening in most of them, you know, around the country, many of the stories that you may be interested in covering in depth, the information that you want is from the regional office. So I can put you in touch with my colleagues in each of the regional offices in public affairs so they can get you experts on each of these species or studies to talk to you about the story there. So in closing, I just want to remind you that you can find everything you need at NOAA.gov, the news release, and from that news release on the left side, the link to the NOAA Fisheries website. And if you would like to contact NOAA Fisheries Public Affairs, you can call us at 301-427-8003. That's also at the top of the news release. And if you need to reach me, I'm Christine Patrick, and my email is christine.patrick@noaa.gov. So thanks very much, and we look forward to your stories. Bye, everyone.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.